Check out We Are Cavan Football Podcast in association with McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Real food, real people. Try Super Value's own range in store today. Quality products at one third the price of branded labels. McAvoy Super Value, Virginia. Supporting local. We Are Cavan Podcast. Because Cavan's not just a place, it's a people. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the McAvoy Super Value GAA podcast brought to you by We Are Cavan. On today's show, we're going to be going through all the action from the All County Football League last weekend. Round two underway in all three divisions. And I'll be looking back on that with Paul Fitzpatrick, sports editor of the Anglo Celt. Obviously, we haven't forgotten about Cavan against Monaghan in the Ulster Championship. We have all our preview. We hear from Dick Clerken. And Vinnie Corey from Monaghan, looking ahead to that over on the Die Hard service. We hear from the Cavan camp, Raymond Galligan, Eamon Murray, Killian Clark, all looking ahead to that game as well. And preview it myself, Mickey Brennan and Paul Fitzpatrick. So plenty on that, as well as ladies football with Aideen Coyle and Camogie as well, all over on the Die Hards podcast on patreon.com/wearecavan. Before we get into the All County Football League, Cavan Minors get their Ulster Minor Championship campaign for 2024 underway. Two games in a row, they have to go up to Owen Beg. The last game was the league semi-final, where in horrible, horrible conditions, Derry came away with a win, but Cavan came away with a little bit of belief. But they have to go all the way back up to the Derry Centre of Excellence to have another cut at the reigning All-Ireland Minor Champions. There still is a little bit of expectation, Paul, about this minor team, but they aren't the finished article just yet.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype about this team, Damien, and I suppose the results in recent weeks has probably quelled the hype to some extent, which is probably no harm. The Derry result was disappointing because there was enough sort of in the wreckage of Donegal to salvage something from it. You know, you still came out of it saying, well, they showed glimpses of real quality, but as far as I have heard about the Derry game, it was sort of a freak game in that conditions were just ridiculous. You were saying, you were talking to someone who was at it, and they were saying that in the second half, when Cavan should have had the wind and hopefully would have been racking up scores, you could barely solo the ball, let alone kick the ball. It was that bad. So maybe we can draw a line through that one. Now, if Cavan had beaten Derry, we'd probably be losing a run of ourselves as well. But we'll draw a line through that one, and we'll say that this is going to be the real test of this Cavan team. They're going to get Derry, but the weather forecast is not good either. There's a storm coming in, so but you know, there's no point making excuses. This is the second crack at Derry now, and we want to see something from Cavan now, because we know it's a good team and they'll be very well prepared.
And we've seen quite a bit of flux on Shawnee Smith's team selection throughout the league. Even though making that league semi-final was still very important, he had a starting 15 that repeated in any of the games. So I'm anticipating that this weekend we'll see as close to as possible what he feels is the best 15, and then maybe settling into those games letting that team settle into a run of games. And that's kind of going to be important for the team as well.
Yeah, it is. But young lads, like, I suppose you just don't know. We know that minor and under 20 football tend to produce shocks, probably not to the same extent that they would have one time. I think the playing field used to be more level, but the strong counties have really got their house in order, and it's probably taken it out of it to some extent. But we still saw Longford Minors beating Dublin the other evening. We saw Leitrim under 20s beating Mayo. So you still get shocks in these grades, which is great. It might have been legislated out of senior to some extent, but it's still there in the underage grades. So I think probably the challenge for managers, particularly the minor level, and especially so now the minor has gone back a year, is that you just don't know how lads are going to react to the occasion and so on. they might be showing up well in training or whatever. So I would say that as it goes on, Shaunie Smith and his management team are learning a lot more about the players, who's better to come on, who's better to start, you know, who mightn't just be good enough for to play a lot of championship minutes, but they're going to need a lot of players anyway because it's going to be a lot of games this year. So I'm still optimistic about this group. It's the start of the championship and anything can happen on this team. Really, anything is possible with this team. I think it's a very good team. We saw a lot of these lads shining in the county championship last year and in the Ulster minor tournament in St Paul's with the Gaels as well. So we know there's a lot of quality there, and a few of them played last year as well, more than usual, I would say, survivors from last year. It used to be a thing where when minor was under 18 that you might have a half a dozen or more, but I've noticed in the last few years that your teams only seem to have one or two, because you're asking under 16s really and to step up, and they're that year less mature. But this team seems to have quite a few players who played last year, so that's a big advantage. There was talk that Joshua Shehu wasn't going to be available for it earlier on in the year. There was a lot of talk about that because he was obviously outstanding last year in the county championship. He lit it up, and he lit it up in Ulster as well. But he's there now, and he's available. He's starting, and he's flying fit. So that's a big help as well. So you'd be hopeful, and I think it would be a great boost because we're on an awful run. We're actually in recent weeks we're on a bad run at all levels, but we're on a bad run in general at underage level in the last couple of years, compared to where we'd like to be. So I think it's a big opportunity to go up there and make a statement and hopefully get the win.
Yeah, definitely is. Definitely is. Wish the lads the best of luck, and we'll have a look back on that game on next week's podcast. I forgot to mention, obviously, we do have a preview for the All-Ireland Senior Singles Four-Wall Final, where our own Paul de Gunnar Brady, the GOAT, is taking on Robbie McCarthy. It's at 2 o'clock in Croke Park on Saturday afternoon as well. So we have a full preview podcast looking ahead to that one and building up the rivalry. A few people have commented to me that listening to the podcast were like, oh God, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch that one. I can't make it up, but I'm going to watch it. Tickets all sold out. I'm not even going to let Paul come in to talk about this one because it's a half an hour to get rid of.
Let me in.
Another thing I have to let you in for, the Lavi GAA club have asked me to mention about their Up for the Match, which you're one of the panel members on Friday night in the Lavi Inn as well. 8 o'clock, I think it starts off. Owen McConnell MC, yourself, Seamus Donoghue, Paddy McNamee, and Banty McEnany. So
and Paul Finley.
Oh, and Paul Finley. I was going to say the three of you are going to gang up on the Banty. Now he'd be well fit for you, as I'm sure. But with Paul Finley, who I was going over to Castle Blaney last night, and I seen Paul out running, and he's in good looking shape. So yeah, no, I think he's a one to be careful what you say tomorrow night or down in Lavi. But should be a great night. Still tickets available. Do head out to that one. Okay, jump on to the All County Football League. Round two underway last weekend, in most cases anyway. Go on, I'm going to let you have that free shot that you want, because I'll start off with the conceded game in Division 1. Arva gave the points to Cavan Gaels at the weekend, which is just disappointing to see.
Yeah, well, I've been saying for a while, and you've been arguing against me. You have come up with this alternative history that the All-County League was never really important in Cavan. And I don't believe that to be correct. And I think it's been downgraded now by the split season, because we have contorted ourselves in such a way that we have to somehow allow players to get games, but not have league status dependent on games where you don't have your county players. We have it such a way now that you can lose every single game, win one game at the end and stay up. And what that does is it downgrades all the other games that go before that. You're also taking out all of the best players, for the most part, unless they're released by the county if they didn't play. But you're taking out all the best under 20 and senior players out of it. So I think it has diminished the All-County League. Maybe that's just something we have to put up with. That's the price of it. And we just have to swallow that. But I think it's undeniable. So I do remember a year, 7 or 8 years ago, there was a team, I think it might have been Shannon Gales, who conceded an All-County League game. And there was a lot of talk about it. And people were like, Jesus, you know, that was That was a big thing. That sort of was crossing the Rubicon to not field for an all-county league game. 2 weeks in now, two games conceded. Shercock conceded the first day, Arva conceded the second day. That suggests that we might see a bit of a trend here. The teams will go, look, you know, we might be in a very difficult spot with injuries and so on. And I know Arva were missing a huge amount of players. Like, you have teams that are probably being punished for having county players to some extent now. You're nearly better off having lads who are just bubbling below county level but are still with their clubs all the time, if clubs are to be selfish about it. But I think it shows a general downgrading of the league. That it's no longer you know, an amazing thing if a team doesn't field for an all-county league game. It's just kind of like, okay, move on to next week. So I think it's disappointing because the split season has been billed as this great thing for club players. But for most club players, the majority of their games in the season are going to be league games. So I just think it's further evidence to back up my point, which I love.
Yeah, I would. I'll make a couple of points just to counter. One, I would like to check over the last 5-6 years and see how many All County Football League games were conceded over those years. I don't know. Is it just in the last two seasons, the split season, that we've seen this starting?
Just to come in on that, Damien, I think you might have seen it in the past at the very end of the season, where there would be a gap after Championship. For example, Lacken played 1 year. I think it actually that might have possibly been a league final against Kingsford. I think I have my facts right there. And Kingsford went on and won the championship, and Lacken had been twiddling their thumbs for 8 or 9 weeks, and then the final was fixed at a week's notice. And I think they ended up conceding that one. But it was more of a protest because they felt that they hadn't been given the time to prepare or so on. I think you might have seen dead rubbers at the very end of the league, which literally meant nothing, might have been conceded. But to concede games in the early stages of the league, I think would have been totally beyond the pale.
Maybe so. The other thing about it, and I think, so the Shercock game has to be taken in isolation because they are working off small numbers, and we know that. They had to fly players home from Dubai last year for their championship run, and they had a wedding that was down in Limerick. So it wasn't possible. They looked for alternative dates. It wasn't accommodated. And I think that's separate. The Arva thing, though, the thing that a lot of people are talking about here is Arva's decision to play a reserve All-County Football League on the Saturday evening and then not field their first team. Like, all of those reserve players were available to play on Sunday instead of Saturday, I'm sure, unless a lot of them were going away or there was something on. But the optics of it do look bad. The under-20 players, the county under-20 players were available to play. So essentially all that Arva would have been missing are their two county seniors in Kieran Brady and Tristan Noah Kaufman. So everybody else was available for Arva. And I think that's where this is kind of eye-catching.
Bar injuries, yeah.
Bar injuries as well, yeah, sorry. But this is kind of eye-catching for me that this was a decision. This wasn't, I don't think this was really forced on Arva. Well, maybe somebody will tell me differently, but it does have the optics of it was the decision not to play it rather than we absolutely couldn't. They decided to play the game the night before. And I think that might lean towards your argument in stating that the importance of these games have been degraded a bit because of the fact, as you said, you can just play one game at the end of the season. And
yeah, well, I think it's inarguable, Damien, because at one time you needed to accrue as many points as you could to stay in the division or to make a tilt for promotion or to a tilt for the league title if you're in Division One, and you don't anymore. If you want to stay in the division, you only need to win one game. And I definitely am not casting any aspersions on Arva or Shercock. You don't know the ins and outs. Who knows? Maybe there was a flu bug. There could have been 100 different things. But I think managers have to balance up all those things. And if we create a situation where it doesn't really matter if a team wins or loses a game, if their aim is to, say, stay up in a division or consolidate, whatever way we want to put it, then that's what's going to happen. Managers are going to make whatever decision they feel is best for their players. And that's just the situation that we're now in with this competition. And also, it must be said, no team in Cavan played as much football as Arva played last year. So that's another important factor.
And absolutely, and I think that is important. You know, that rest has to be built in at some point into a season.
Sorry, Ballyhays played as much last year, but Arva carried right through into this year then.
That's true. But yeah, nobody has played as much in the last 14 months as Arva across the county. So, okay, we'll park that then. So other results in Division One, Lara getting the better of Lacken in PJ Duke Park, 115 to 1-9.
Good nine win to 9 points, was it?
Or 9 points, sorry, nine points.
Yeah, good win for Lara. Yeah, Paul Smith with nine points. In the game, so he equaled Lacken's tally. Look, we know Lacken were down a lot of bodies last year. Like, I think Lacken have almost a better team not playing than is available to them. Like obviously Raymond Galligan himself has been their best forward for the last 15 or 20 years, and he's managing the county now, so he's basically retired from the club. They've an all-star midfielder away. Their forward who stepped up last year. In the absence of players, which was Killian Galligan, who was brilliant the last two seasons, he's away. Paul Leddy, who's their next best forward, probably is away. So they're down to the bare bones, and I'm sure I'm forgetting plenty of others. Like, you have a lot of veterans on the Lacken team at this stage. So they are struggling there for numbers, in fairness. They managed to stay in the division last year, didn't manage to stay in the senior championship, but they're struggling there for numbers. Whereas Lara are down bodies too, but looking at the Lara team sheet, you know, the big names that you'd be looking at, Fergal O'Rourke, Fergal McKenna, Jack McKenna, Paul Smith. For my money, they're Lara's best players, and they were all playing. And you know, it's going to be hard to cope with quality like that. So a great win for Lara, to be fair. They won it comfortably.
Brady's Arva Limited, main dealers for Volkswagen cars and commercial vehicles, have been serving the needs of the motoring community in Cavan, Longford, Leitrim, Monaghan, Meath and the surrounding counties for over 50 years. A family-owned and family-run business, Brady's are famous for their long association with the GAA. If you're looking for a new or used car or commercial vehicle, check out Brady's Arva Limited. They provide an unrivaled sales and after-sales service and are open 6 days a week. Brady's Arva Limited. Get on the winning team today. See www.bradysarva.ie for more details. Yeah. Better said on the day. Rammer United banging in goals for fun against their neighbours, Coohollins, 5-9 to 11 points. I suppose they're flexing their muscles there, Rammer.
Yeah, and they were down a good few bodies, like obviously Liam Brady, Mark and Matty McGee, Brian O'Connell, Enda Maguire, Garrett Mannion, all starters on that team. But Rammer have had an awful lot of injury problems last year. I think the injury problems have cleared up to some extent this year. I think they've sort of changed the focus of their training a little bit as well. But a great win. To score five goals was super. Ben O'Hara got 2-2. He was the top scorer. Sean Brady's back as well. I think he was away last year. Connor Bradley's playing wing back, which is an interesting one. So the half back line was Jack Brady, Oliver McChrystal, and Connor Bradley, which was an interesting half back line there. Lots of football ability there.
Lots of attacking threat in that.
Yeah, and you can see like Rammer have been very good at underage level in the last couple of years, and you can see that coming through now. Like they're Matthew Smith, Ben O'Hara, and Aaron Tynan. That was their full forward line, and they all, I think, won a minor championship medal 2 years ago, or what it would be 18 months ago now, probably. Aidan O'Cole came on as well, who's going to be an important player as always for them. Ben Smith, Jensen Tynan, who's on the Cavan under-20s, Shane Keenan, Nathan Levy-Valency. So Rammer have brought in a wave of young lads. So as we know, Coohollins are young. Adrian Tate played in goals for Coohollins, which is interesting. He's been their midfielder for 2 decades. Eva Doughty was the top scorer with 6 points. Niall McGee got 2 points. Sean Kenny got one and Adam O'Reilly got one. So yeah, good win in the local derby for Rammer.
Okay, Kings Cork got the better of Ballyhays up in O'Rahilly Park, 115 to 9 points. So Jody Devine gets his campaign up and running with a victory.
Yeah, it was interesting, this one. This was a close game coming into the final quarter. It was 8 points each with 15 minutes left. And then Kingsford pulled away. Like, you definitely wouldn't have said Kingsford are gonna win this game by double scores with 15 minutes to go in the game. But it's finished 115-9 points. Kingsford missing a few bodies as well. Obviously Barry Riley wasn't there. A few of their other seasoned players. Jordan Morris came on and got 1-3, which was key. Kian Shecklin had 6 points as well, kicked his free as well. On the Ballyhays team, Cormac Hegarty was top scorer with 5 points. Owen Clark got a point from midfield. Colin McKernan got one. Killian Brady got two. A lot of young lads playing for Ballyhays as well. Gary O'Rourke wasn't playing. Brian O'Rourke wasn't playing. Porrick Moore. So a lot of their real frontline men weren't playing either. So, again, like, I think maybe we're going to see that as well to some extent. Maybe lads have the opportunity now to get a bit of rest in, which, again, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe lads were playing a bit too much ball. I don't know. But we might see lads that are have wee niggles or whatever, that they won't risk it in these All County League games anymore. So good start for Kingsford under new management.
I'm not allowing statements like that on the podcast without them being pulled up. There's no such thing as playing too much football. You know, there's a lot of things. You can drink too much, and you can eat too much. You can sleep too much. You can probably even work too much. But
The first two might be linked,
that's true. That's
and
true.
the last two are definitely linked for us.
Absolutely. Okay, Garna with a comfortable win over Castleran. 2 goals and 14 points to 5 points. Gowna missing all their county players for this one and still had a very strong outfit out.
They had, yeah. Conor Madden got 1-3, so I think that's. I'm going to keep an eye on that now. I think that's a goal in the first two games for Conor, so we'll have to keep an eye on that and keep a track of how many goals he's got this season as it goes on. Shawnee Harton got 1-1. David Phillips is back in the Garner team. Interesting
Oh.
one. Yeah, he's back. He was with a club in Sligo and playing with Sligo for the last couple of years.
Right.
So that's an inter-county player back into that defence. It's more options for the Garner management. Mark McKeever was listed at fullback. Don't know whether Mark played fullback. Most of the under 20s played. Currently under 20s, Killian Brady. Who else have we there?
Darren Madden played in goals today.
Owen Harton. Yeah, Darragh Madden was listed in goals, all right.
Just in one.
Yeah,
Because we're
interesting one as
going
well.
back and forth with the NFL trials, was that it?
That was it, yeah. Saw that meme going around, all right. On the Castleran team, they'll be disappointed. Carol Cosgrove got four frees and Cian McCabe got a point from play. So Castleran, bad day for Castleran. But again, Cormac Daly was playing, but you know, a lot of those sort of strong men on the Castleran team, the O'Connells and Cooney and Fergal Riley, didn't see any of their names on the team sheet, among others, David Ritt and some of those other soldiers for Castleran. So I'd say maybe as the year goes on, we'll see those lads coming back.
They're going to need them, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. But in fairness to Castleran, we were saying it on the pod there recently. They are producing good young players now, like Jason O'Gorman's in there. He's one that I've heard said should be in the mix with the Cavan under 20s. I know he was good in the senior championship last year, and they have a couple on the minors, they have a couple on the 20s knocking around. You know, Castleran are producing good players again. Like a lot of clubs, maybe they took their eye off the ball a wee bit when they were going so well at senior. That does happen to a lot of clubs, and it's understandable because all your resources are going into trying to win a senior championship or whatever. Funnily enough, I think Castleran won an under 14 championship some years back, and they beat Ramor in the final. And Castleran didn't get an awful lot off that team, whereas Ramor got a huge amount off that team that was beaten in an under 14 final. It went on to backbone their senior team. So, no, I don't think we're not going to see a big massive plummet from Castleran or anything like that. I don't think so. I think they just have enough quality coming through. They needed them. I think they're coming. I don't think there's another senior championship in them in the next couple of years, but I think they'll be okay.
Okay, be interesting to see. I do think they took their eye out of the ball at underage level. And it might cause a wee bit of a bump in the road coming up. How big of an up and a down in that bump, only time will tell. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Just I was looking at the names, and again, I was kind of saying the boys who are missing are, you know, definitely kind of coming towards the end of their career rather than anywhere close to the beginning of it. And they're the lads you be expecting should be able to pull them out. So, but there, you're right. There is a couple of very good players coming through, but it's bridging that gap in between. That might be the issue for Castlerahan. But we keep a close eye on it anyway in Division One. Final game then was Knockbride hosting Crushlaw, their first game up in Division One in I don't know how many years. But Crushlaw welcomed them to the party with a 3-10 to 1-8 victory.
Yes, I think Stephen Smith had a very good game at full forward for Crushlaw. He was very good from frees. The pace of the game probably caught Knockbride out to some extent. And Knockbride weren't just at full strength either. We know they're down a few bodies. And they've brought through even more young lads. Like Knockbride are one club that has been doing great work at underage and had a very strong panel last year. So it's going to be interesting to see, can Knockbride hold their own in Division 1? Can they stay in it? That should leave them very well primed for playing in the junior championship. They actually scored the first 2 points of the game, but Liam Fay got the opener. That's Lockbride's first point for the record in Division One football in long number of years now. It must be at least 15 years, I'd say, or more. And Patrick Smith got the second. And after that, then Crushlaw got took control of the game. And at halftime, it was 1-7 to 4 points. I'm trying to remember who got the goal for Crushlaw. But yeah, Crushlaw then sort of ran through them at times and won the game comfortably, in fairness, which you would expect from a top senior club against a junior club, with all due respect to Knockbride.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so that means the Romar Energy All-County Football League Division 1 table looks like this. Rammer United are sitting on top with Gowna, both on 4 points from their two games. Kingscourt and Mullaghorn undefeated, one game played, 2 points from the one game. And then down at the bottom end, it's Knockbride, Ballyhays and Lacken, all without points. Knockbride have only one game played so far. So we'll keep on top of that as the next few weeks go on. Okay, into the Brady's Arva All-County Football League Division 2 games from the weekend gone by. They're after disappearing off my screen here. Results are gone.
Yeah, well, sitting on top of Division 2 at the minute is Lavie with 2 wins. Hard to believe that Killigarry are Division 2, actually. I forgot that they had gone down. They have a win and a draw. Then you've Cornafin on 3, the Bridge on 3. And at the bottom of the table, Ballymacue and Templeport, the only two teams yet to pick up a win in Division 2.
Okay. Yeah. Results back up here. We have the Shercock getting the better of Templeport on Thursday night last, I think it was, or Friday night last. Good Friday, and on the lights down in Bombay, even though it was a home game for Shercock, but Templeport accommodated them. I think this was a case of Templeport missing a lot of shots, just very, very wasteful in front of goal. I think, was it 14 or 17 wides was the number I heard for Templeport. Niall Clerken in top form for Shercock. He seemed to make all the difference. And Sean Clark on excellent form from frees. And I think in all, Shercock only missed 5 of their scoring opportunities across the game. So it was a case of, there's a lot of change in that Templeport forward line at the minute. Mm. A lot of players gone from it. So, you know, they're looking for the new boys to step up and see who exactly is going to be the new score getters for Templeport. But they'll be looking to build on it this weekend. Butler's Bridge beat Ballina in a very entertaining game, 114 to 112 in favour of the Bridge. Niall McDermott, I think, finished with 1-4, 1-5. Shane Finnegan with 4 or 5 points there. Cormac Timoney came off the bench for Ballina.
Good to see Timoney back, because he missed almost the whole National League with cabin through injury.
Yeah, and the more game time he can get, the better it is for him and for Cavan. I think he's a player that still has a big future in front of him. Fintan O'Reilly done most of the damage for Butler's Bridge, particularly with frees in the first half. Seemed to be nothing but frees in the first half in this game. I think Butler's Bridge opened up the game with a goal from Killian Leddy, and then Niall McDermott replied about 20 minutes later. But it was when the Ballina went down to 13 players. Well, they went down to 14 players with about 15 minutes to go in the game, and then down to 13 players with about 5 minutes to go in the game. And Fergal Flanagan back for the Bridge. He scored one of the late points. Midfielder Kieran O'Reilly got a couple of points as well. So Bridge going well. That's a draw and a win against two of the bigger hitters in Division 2 for Butler's Bridge. So Keelan Milaniff will be happy with his start as Butler's Bridge manager. I'm curious, actually, I was going to try to get time to look this up, but how many of the wins over the first couple of rounds are coming from new management setups, where there's that little bit of a bounce where, you know, it's all new, it's all fresh. I must take it out and get out the facts on that one. Second game then in Division 2, Killigarry got the better of Killincare, 2 goals in 20 to 1 goal in 18. Paul, take a deep breath. Okay, don't get overexcited. Just try get a paper bag there and just breathe. Connor Smith was unbelievable, apparently. 11 points. He finished with 6 coming from open play or something like that. Something ridiculous. He wrecked Killingare's defence, apparently. So, and you're probably gone. You fainted.
I'm back now. Sorry, I had to just get a glass of water. I hate to say I told you so.
Yeah.
I discovered him. I say it was the county final 2 years ago when I discovered him, was it?
Nobody's heard of him before that. Nobody heard of him. But it's one of those eye catch. And look, people will say, oh yeah, it's Division 2 or whatever. I don't care. You're scoring 11 points in the game and half of them coming from open play. You're doing something that still has you in that conversation around county football. You know,
he should be one of Cavan's best forwards. Like it doesn't make sense that he hasn't been able to translate his club form to county, because I always use the phrase, he's an absolute wrecking ball. He demolishes defences for his club and he does it with consistency when he's fit. So it's great to see him fit because he's had so many injuries, but I still hold out hope that he's gonna have a few good seasons with Cavan yet, because he's too good not to. I can't understand why it hasn't really happened for him with Cavan. Injuries, I think, is one thing, but I don't know. There's a lot of injuries.
I think it's the major thing, though. It is he has not got a clear run where he's gone 4 or 5 games at county level without an injury. You know,
probably not. And you have to remember, he did start to us the final in 2020, didn't he?
Yeah. Or did he started, or was he one of the ones that was on and off and on and off?
I think he started that game. But anyway, it's great to see him fit and going well now. I'm looking forward. He's one player I love to watch.
Yeah, yeah. A hell of a forward line on Killigarry. I was just looking. Dara Lovett, the two Moonies, Kean Keeney, Connor Smith. And I'm just trying to think, who was the other one? There was 6 forwards that you're going, God on their day.
Well, there's a young lad there called Martin Riley as well. He's got a couple of points.
Martin Riley, that was the 6th forward, centre-half forward. Like, what a forward line.
Yeah,
it really is. It's, and I see Kevin Lovett was back in at centre back as well. So, for Killincare, as normal, Emmett Fitzsimons with a few frees. Good, a lot of young players though stepping up. Conal Mooney, Cian McGovern, Alex Sweeney seem to be playing well and coming through. They're all, you know, 18, 19, 20 years of age. So, plenty of bright future ahead for Killincare, but just. Couldn't handle Connor Smith at the weekend. Here's the big one. Drumgoon got the better of Coot Hill. 10 points to 1 goal and 6. That's one that will put up. I think the UN have put up the lines there just outside of Coot Hill. And they've left Gaza and said, right, listen, more important, you know, Drumgoon and Coot Hill, that's the one to watch.
Yeah, they're sending a peacekeeping force from Drung or somewhere like that. Again, sure, it was a 1-point game, 10 points to 1-6. So we can imagine the type of game it was, a local derby. Conor Miner had a great game for Drumgoon and probably made the difference with 3 points from play. Keith Fannin with 3 from play as well. Whereas on the Coot Hill side, the most anyone scored was Shane Sexton with 2 points. And Dermy Connolly came on and got a goal. And then after that, 4 other players got a point. Jake White got a free, Enda Heston got a point, Ben McGann got a point. So a typical bitterly contested local derby, but mine had the difference for Drumgoon there from what I've been told.
Yeah, very good. Okay, Ballymacue were beaten by Corna Féin, 111 to 7 points. in Corna Féin. Ballymacue down, couple of bodies. I think Shane Tynan was out. I'm not sure did Liam Buchanan play here.
This game, no, Liam Buchanan didn't play in this game. Ballymacue definitely, looking at the team sheet, they're definitely down a good few bodies. Mark Heron got 5 points for them. On the Corna Féin team, Cullen McShane got the goal. Peter Doyle with four. Oisin Brown with three. Egan Smith got a point. James McGarren got 2 points. And they won it comfortably enough. They had the ball in the net in the first minute of the game from McShane, and that set them up nicely. And they were 1-9-4 up at half time, and they closed it out from there.
Lavi got the better of Drumlane, 113 to 2-7. So Liam Maguire, as manager now, has 2 wins from 2 in Division 2 for Lavi, who don't always have good league campaigns. Last year wasn't too bad. But
funnily enough, last year they had a decent league and then the championship didn't go well. Whereas in other years they sort of idled along in the league and they were able to pick it up for the championship. I didn't hear anything about this game, Damien, so I'm not going to spoof it.
Okay, well, Bill Torbett and Den went head-to-head and Den got the better of them in the end. 3-8 to Bill Torbett and 2-12 to Den. Bill Torbett are getting goals, though. They're back to Jason style.
Yeah, Cavell Keoghan had a brilliant game for Den here. He was fielding a lot of ball on kickers. He was scoring well. He scored 4 or 5 points in play. Certainly the man of the match. Ben Connolly had a very good game as well. And Den were comfortably enough in front. There were 6 or 7 points in front, and Biltorba launched a good comeback and got a goal near the end. And but they weren't just able to close it out. Now, I think Stewie Dunn and Cormac Donoghue, Mark Lawler, they showed up well around the middle of the field, but Den had too much for them. 1-3 from play for Ben Connolly. Caelan McCabe again with a goal, so I think that's the second week in a row he's got a goal too. I think I'm right in saying that, so we'll keep an eye on that too. We saw in the Intermediate Championship last year he got up for 2 or 3 goals as well from defence, so he's a player we're going to see playing McCabe in the next couple of years, I'm pretty sure of it. Good result for Den there, and again not a bad result for Bathorba either, against last year's Intermediate finalists. They'll take a lot out of it.
Definitely, they're making progress there. Okay, right on to the Imperial Bar All County Football League Division 3 results from the weekend. On Saturday evening, Red Hills got the better of Mahara 3-22 to 2-8. Paul, you can stop me if you have any information on any of these games.
Okay.
Killeshandra got the better of Kildallan 2-9 to 1-8 down in Paddy Devlin Park in Killeshandra. Munster Connacht were playing Shannon Gales in Munster Connacht, probably the longest journey in Cavan GAA, and the home side won 122 to 1-10. A big score there from Munster Connacht. That's an impressive scoreline to be getting on any occasion.
Yeah, the main man there was Endo Shea, got 11 points. Great scoring. On the Shannon Gales team, Keevy McGarvin got 1-3. So that's a great result there for the Munchies. But again, I think Shannon Gales were probably down a few bodies. Obviously, they were missing Jason McLaughlin. They had Keevy McGarvin all right. I didn't see Niall Walsh's name. Isn't there a lot of talk that he was going to transfer back maybe? Yeah. From Mike Cullen, where he's been a big success over in Galway. I think he's won 2 senior championships there, but yeah, the junior championship's heating up nicely there. If Munster Connacht can keep that kind of form going, maybe they'll be contenders as well.
Maybe so. Swanland Bar showing good early form here, getting a draw with Ballyborough, who'd be hotly fancied to make a straight return back up to Division 2. It finished 1-15 apiece down in St Mary's Park. I think Rory Curran, from what I heard, was playing very well for Swanland Bar here, and Cian McGovern. So that's a good start to the league for them. For Ballyborough, difficult enough. A lot of pace in the Ballyborough team, I'm told. They were moving very well, but just didn't finish all the opportunities that they created. And then Drumlee got the better of Mount Nugent, 2-10 to 11 points in Mount Nugent, playing against the wind in the first half. Mount Nugent held a 4-point advantage. Craig Mullen was excellent in the first half, using the wind and kicking as he only can kick with that left foot. But 4-point advantage then. Drumlee got straight back at it, hit 2 after half time. And then after a red card for Drumlee, Craig Mullen brought it back to a 4-point advantage, but Drumlee clawed their way back in, got a goal, lovely goal by Cian Bourne, Dean Sherlock, winning the ball in the middle of the field, turning it forward to Sean O'Kane, who just laid simply off but perfectly timed to Cian Bourne, and a lovely punted goal from about 15 metres out, put Drumley level, and then they added another through a penalty. But a lot of good performances for Drumley there. Mount Nugent, though, are decimated. I didn't realise Adam Rehill was gone. He's transferred to, he's living over in Mayo, transferred there. Kieran Caffrey's not playing at the minute, could be out injured. So there was a lot of recognisable faces gone off the Mount Nugent side. So it comes with a little bit of a health warning on that one as well. But all of that means that in the on the table in the Imperial Bar All County Football League Division 3, Drumley sit on top with two wins from two games and 4 points to their name. Then next to them in second, it's Swanlabar and Drung, both with two games played, one win and one draw. The Drung result, where's that one gone? It was missing from... Oh, Mahara conceded, did they? Yeah, Mahara conceded to Drung. No, that's this weekend. Where did I miss the Drung result?
It's not on the website. Mahara conceded for this weekend against Drung, according to the website. Drung had a draw the first game, so maybe they had a bye. The Drew was trying to get us the first day, so they must have had a bye.
But it's given them 3 points on the table. We'll have to do a bit more investigating on that.
Maybe that game has already been conceded and sort of been awarded the points, it looks like. It's just hard to figure that out from the website there at the minute.
Okay, well, Drung with two games played, yeah, that might add up, actually. Two games played, they've got 3 points on the board. And then down at the bottom end, yet to get off the mark, are Kildallan, Mount Nugent, and Mara McFinns. So they have, yeah, you're right, actually, because Mara McFinns have 3 games played on the board, on the table. So
three weeks so far, three games conceded.
Yes, and just to give you a quick update while you were going through some of those results, in 2023 we had one game conceded. Castlerahan conceded to Gowna. I cannot find the number of games conceded in 22, 21 or 20. In 19 there was none by my calculation. In 18 there was none. But in 17 there was 3 games. And this is just Division 1. They're just Division 1. But in 2017, there was 3 Division 1 games conceded.
Yeah, I think one of those was that one I mentioned where there was a dispute between Lacken and Kingscourt. I think that might have been that one.
No, Lacken conceded... Sorry, Castlerahan conceded to Lacken in the league. Calvin Gales conceded to Kingscourt.
What round of the league were these?
July and August time. So you're probably right. They could have been coming towards the end of the league.
Yeah, because I know that... Was that 2017? Did Castlerahan win the league that year in July? Was that the first year that the championship, the league final was played in July against the Gales? Or was that 20? That was 2018, I think, in fact. Yeah, there you go. I'm sure we'll argue it out before the year's out, David.
And we'll have plenty more stats by the time we get through it all. But that's all we've time for, folks, on the McAvoy Super Value GA podcast. Hope you enjoyed all, and best of luck to the teams taking the field this weekend. Saturday evening, All County Football League kicks off. I think most games are at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. So, and then obviously the big one is on, I would say, on Sunday afternoon. Paul might say it's Saturday afternoon, but they're both big. Paul de Gunner in the All Ireland Senior Singles Final, and Cavan obviously taking on Monaghan in St Sheerness Park in Clonus on Sunday afternoon. So all that will be looked back upon on next week's Diehards podcast. So head on over to patreon.com/wearecavan. Paul, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Demo.